Welcome to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. This is episode 17. Welcome back and thank you so much for joining me here for the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 17. Today, I am joined by a very special guest. Dr. Andre Robinson Neal is a mother, a wife, a pet lover, a writer, and a scholar practitioner who is dedicated to the study of diversity in higher education. Listen in as Dr. Andre Robinson Neal, her 60-pound puppy, and I chat about her journey of becoming an entrepreneur.
How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I am excellent. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Sure, sure. Hopefully we won't be too disturbed. My 60-pound puppy loves to tell the kids to stay out of his yard, even though they have absolutely no interest in him.
I understand completely. We have a Chihuahua whom does much the same and really thinks that he should be involved with every single occurrence outside of the door. So
yes.
I get it. No worries.
Yes.
Our show is really designed for entrepreneurs to kind of listen in, hear the journey of other entrepreneurs, find the pain in their industry, and then we can all strategize to create solutions for you. So what we'd like to know before we delve into your journey is how it is that you once saw the future before you decided to begin branding yourself and building your business.
Well, of course, I'm a child of the 60s, so the world is all rainbows and sunny, and whatever is out there, we're going to tackle it, we're going to conquer it, and it's all going to be lovely. However, that's the old rose-colored glasses philosophy, and, you know, the practical side of me knew that that's really not how it was going to be, but, you know, it's somewhere deep down inside this pessimistic shell, I do have a big old chunk of optimism, too, so I was excited to jump out into the unknown and just see what the world was going to bring me.
When you decided to become an entrepreneur, what were the first steps that you felt you needed to take in order to begin branding yourself?
Sure. Well, first off, I knew that there was a good possibility that I was going to be moving out of what I did before. I've spent the last 13 years in higher education as an administrative faculty member, and my last contract was coming to an end, and I was getting that nudge that I needed to do more, I needed to do something else, and I've been a writer since I was a little tiny person, and it had just been niggling at me. I had done a couple of, small pieces. I keep a blog, I do those sorts of things, but there was just that feeling that I needed to do more. So as my contract was winding down, I was taking a look at what I might need to do first, other than panic. I think a lot of times when we find ourselves out there without the what we consider the safety net, you know, regular job, the 401k getting dumped into every couple weeks, you know, medical benefits taken out of your check, you know, those things that you don't have to direct deposit, all of that. When that's about to come to an end, it's like, okay, mortgage still needs to be paid, kids still want to eat, dogs still want to eat, husband still wants to eat, I still want to eat, I need the internet, so I better pay that bill. How is this going to work? So I started strategizing on how I needed to place myself to do that. What kind of safety net could I build for myself out of the resources I had existing so I could keep going for a little while so I wouldn't fall into a big panic?
And I think that's important for others to really listen in to, is the fact that you took some time to really take a look at yourself and look at how it is you could strategize with the resources that were already in existence for you. And that is something that is so key, because I think a lot of entrepreneurs, when they begin, go looking to see if they can find different resources or different things that can all of a sudden magically help them on this journey, when in reality you really just need to kind of take a look inside and take a look at your existing resources and see what you can build from there. So excellent, thank you. What did you find to be one of the most difficult parts of becoming an entrepreneur. You know, I think we all get that moment of panic, and we've all had that step, you know, where when you're getting ready to take the leap and you realize that safety net is really gone and you begin thinking about creating your own safety net. What did you find to be the most difficult part of creating that safety net? And if that was the most difficult part of becoming an entrepreneur, and why did you find it difficult? How did you go about overcoming this difficulty?
Sure. For me, it was difficult stepping into something that I hadn't done as a primary before. Of course, you know, as I mentioned, you know, I've written a few things. I did, you know, National Novel Writing Month, NaNoWriMo, you know, I did those sorts of things as a sideline. I wasn't looking to do that, to be a writer editor, you know, to put myself out there as that. You know, here I am, I'd been lecturing, I'd been, you know, grading papers, I'd been crafting curricula, I'd been, you know, providing administration and these sorts of things. And now here I am, I'm going to step back out, you know, step into my house, step back outside and say, hey, how you doing? I'm a writer. And people kind of give you that sort of quizzical look like, well, have you done that all your life? You know, who are you? Are you Stevina King? You know, what is this? You know, so I think for me that the biggest obstacle, and it wasn't much of one, and I guess I kind of say that in a roundabout way, it wasn't to rebrand myself. For so long, I had been an academic. I had been a non-traditional education person. So what am I going to do with that as a writer? Well, it's still there. I still make use of the skills that I've built, the education that I've spent zillions of dollars on over half of my life. So I think one of the things people need to remember is as you step into something new, don't throw away everything that you've done. It's all very important. It plays a foundational role in what you're going to move into. Even if it feels like it's something completely different, the skills that you build, you're going to keep. It's, what do they say? It's like riding a bike. You know, once you do it, you know, you may fall off a couple times, but you get the concept. So you can put those things in place as you move forward.
Bringing it back to what you were stating, using those resources and not necessarily external resources, but internal resources as well. The skills that you have picked up throughout the years of whatever positions it is that you have held or different experiences in life in general. There are mommy bloggers out there who take their experience as moms and use that to brand themselves and build their own businesses. So it definitely you got to use what it is that you already have as internal resources to create that foundation. What is it that you would say that prospective entrepreneurs should really take into consideration before actually taking their leap? What's one thing that you think you may have wished you had taken into consideration prior to taking the leap?
I think it's, you know, the old saying, hindsight being 20/20. We spend so much time in the now.
Yes.
You know, it's necessary. You know, we have to take care of the bill that's due today. You know, we for those of us who have figured out, hey, you know, as we work to budget, here we go. So sorry.
No worries.
The other children. I think for me, I wish that I had spent a little more time in the budget phase, working around what I had to develop a bigger cushion so I would be able to have supplies. You're interrupting, baby. They don't want you.
He just wants to say hello to the audience.
Say hello to the audience. That's what happens when you're one. You know, you want to talk to everybody. I think that I've put myself in panic sometime when I look at what's before me and I know that I'm new to the whole process of working for myself. And I would encourage anyone who is considering, who mentioned that they are still in some sort of full-time employment and they're thinking about making a move. Well, while you're thinking about it, if it is just a little tiny seed, if it's starting to germinate, you need to do like big business does. You need to come up with a strategic plan. You need to figure out how you're going to make that move from the very day that you think of it. How are you changing your mindset to move out of, you know, whatever, you know, the school, the corporate environment, the grocery store, wherever it is that you work, how are you going to rebrand yourself when you walk out the door? You need to be thinking about that very day when you've packed up your desk and you put the geranium in the pot and you put it in the car and you drive away for the last time after you turn in your keys. Mm-hmm. What if that's a Friday, what's Saturday going to look like? What is Monday going to look like? And if you can craft out those first few months, I think that will give a whole lot of comfort.
And certainly,
and mm-hmm. in reverse, to know if that idea has germinated and you can plan out the next year before you walk out the door, if you have that luxury. I'm in California. We're an at-will state. So, you can walk out the door tomorrow if you choose. An employer can say goodbye, in 10 minutes if they choose. So, some of us don't have that luxury. But if you do, to be able to say, all right, today is August 12th, 2014, August 12th, 2015, August 15th, 2015, I'm out. And to be able to plot out those next however many months, if you're able, to prepare yourself. Because it's a change. When you wake up and you don't have to go to that place that you've gone for the last year or 5 or 10 or 20, it's like mm-hmm. it's like many retired folks say. They're not sure what the next step is. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, you better know.
Right. Definitely, you got to have a plan. It's one of the bigger steps, as you mentioned, just bringing it back to the mindset. As you stated, your mindset is one of the biggest foundation pieces when it comes to becoming an entrepreneur. If your mindset is not in the right place, it can really take a toll thereafter. So if you take the mindset, recognize that you want to stay in a positive place and know that you're working towards something bigger than what you're doing right now, it will propel you forward. And then you can begin taking the steps to create that plan, as you were mentioning, to get ready for the year or the months or the weeks ahead once you do begin taking that leap.
So Dr. Robinson-Neal, what is it that you would caution entrepreneurs against?
As being one of the bigger mistakes that first-time entrepreneurs tend to make when they do go through building out that plan, creating what they're working towards, what do you find as one of the biggest mistakes?
I think it's making the assumption of complete success. What does that look mm-hmm. like? I think it depends on what sort of venture you're going into. For me, of course, it would be to be on the New York Times bestseller list and be able to live off of my writing. But in reality, I had to do the research. I had to be realistic and understand that actually right now, in the writing field in particular, for professional writers, the income has gone down over the last year.
Right.
There are fewer, and when I say that, I'm talking the professionals. I'm talking the James Pattersons and the Stephen Kings. Those people are not making as much money as they were doing in prior years. And we can point fingers as to what the cause of that is, but the bottom line is for those who rely on certain forms of business for their income, when they're just starting out, if you've decided that you're going to be a real estate agent, what's the market doing? Is this a time that you want to jump out there and make that move? Is it simply real estate, or would you be better off maybe considering mortgage brokering for people who are looking to get out of their homes and, those sorts of things? So the biggest thing that I would say is be sure that you don't try to eat the whole elephant, that you eat it one bite at a time. And the first bite should be the research into the area that you want to move into. Understand your market. Understand what customers are looking for. Understand what others have done. Community is out there. If there are people, there's nothing new under the sun. We hear that in various faith and other traditions. There's nothing new under the sun. So whatever you've done, someone's probably done it before you or something similar. Find who that is. Find who those people are and ask them questions. Most of us, I think, are willing to be pretty open to say, I really messed this up and I hope that you don't do it.
Certainly. No, I think that is great. The market research really is one of those trying pieces of building your business when you start that a lot of people attempt to avoid. You know, they come up with an idea and a plan, and they, without the actual effort to verify that there is a market that's going to support this wonderful business idea that you've come up with. It takes time, and if you find that market and find, you know, you should really hone in on finding the market and finding a niche market within that market that can really serve your purpose and do your work, do your homework prior to taking the lead. The show is designed to assist entrepreneurs in hearing the pain in an industry. You have gone out and you have crafted your business around your writing and the experiences that you've had previously. But if you had a magic wand at this point and could change anything at all in your business, what would it be and why? We want to know how the pain in your business impacts you on a day-to-day basis so that we as listeners can go ahead and attempt to strategize and come up with a solution for your business.
Sure. I think that in the course of doing some of my research in the beginning, I didn't dig deep enough to understand all of the pieces that I would need to put myself out there at the front of the pack, as it were. So, for example, I was looking at a site today, and one of the things that we're seeing as a trend in publishing, particularly in, for lack of a better word, flash publishing, you know, Facebook is huge, Twitter is huge, but a lot of the advertising and a lot of the news sharing that those sites do, it, to me, is based on the news, the old format of the news, the current format of the news, quick hits. You know, we hear a story, we see a headline, and then it moves on to the next, and we rotate back around, right? So infographics, those are really big now. So I was looking at a site, and they were looking for writers for infographics. So if you look at your average infographic, it not only has the picture, but it has text as well. Mm-hmm. And learning how to craft those and the language that's used in those, and this particular site helps people learn how to create those for their own use. And as I thought about that, I was like, wow, you know, if I could rewind and go back in time, I think I would have spent more of that year prior to stepping out, getting more of those sorts of certifications under my belt. So I could, you know, throw a few badges around and say, yes, you know, I'm a certified, you know, fill in the blank, certified infographic writer. I'm a certified copy editor. I mean, I do those things, but, you know, just saying it and, you know, in this day and age, getting the old letter from your boss or a former employer is not necessarily what new clients want to see. So I think that I would have spent more time doing those sorts of things. So in a way, I'm playing catch up. I'm working, but I'm doing some of those things alongside the work, if that makes sense.
No, I completely understand, and I agree. Taking the time to obtain those certifications and things of that sort in those niche markets so that they are present and available for customers to see in advance is definitely something that's key in today's market. So I understand completely. I appreciate all of your time this morning. And I thank you for joining us. Please share the best way for our listeners to find you.
Oh, boy. Well, you've got a couple choices. You can find me at my portfolio, which is drarneal.org. Or if you're a fiction fan, you can find me at starvingartist.com.
Dr. Robinson Neal, thank you again for your time, your expertise, and sharing so much information with our audience. We truly appreciate it. And guys, I hope you were listening closely. Plan your next steps. Know that day when you plan to say, I'm out. And know what you're going to do the day after, the week after, the month after, even the year after. Plan your next steps and know what they look like. Plan. get your plan started. And don't forget to check out Dr. Andre Robinson Neal at drarneal.org, or you can always check her out through our show notes page at technologyequality.com/Andre Robinson Neal. I truly enjoyed this week's episode, and I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. And until our next episode, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions, enjoy the week.